Just when you think time can't go any faster, it seems like the pace picks up. It won't be long now, we'll be thinking about raking leaves and putting on a jacket before we go outside. Actually, yesterday I actually thought, well, I don't think I can wear shorts today, so it's kind of chilly yesterday. On top of that, right now we are less than 3 weeks from the Feast of Trumpets. Actually, 3 weeks from this past Thursday. And the beginning of the fall holiday season. It's a very exciting time, but the concerns of life can easily distract us. And then before we know it, the feast is upon us. It's begun. What I consider to be one of my less desirable habits is that I have a tendency to wait until the last minute to complete some tasks. I end up kicking myself, but then I think sometimes that I know it helps me focus even more intently to get whatever job I have to get done in the last few minutes. But it's dangerous when you live life like that, because eventually you're going to get caught in the trap of doing that. But I know it is one of my weaknesses, and that's what I do, is I put things off until the last minute. I've also learned the past 3 years as pastoring full-time that a number of things can come at you at the last moment. And you think you've got everything planned and you're on target, and boom, something crops up that you weren't expecting. So the key is to maintain your focus in life and everything that's important in life. The key really is put first things first and to be prepared. It's important in life that we are prepared for what's coming at us, especially when we know something's coming at us. And certainly the Feast of Tabernacles, we know, is just a few weeks away. The importance of being prepared is stressed throughout the Bible. In fact, God is a God that is always prepared ahead of time. He's not weak like me and doesn't wait until the last minute to deal with things. And He teaches us that lesson of being prepared to His people as well. He is always preparing the way before His people. Right now, God is preparing for the fall holy days. He's very busy in preparing the fall holy day season for His people, for you and me. He has selected the place of our worship, where we'll gather, where we'll celebrate, where we will rejoice in the meaning of these days. The ministry is also very busy now, preparing the messages that will be given during the fall holy days and at the feast sites. And God is there guiding and directing them as they prepare those messages. It's not for our glory. God is guiding and directing us so that you will spiritually profit, so you will be edified, and you can draw closer to Him and have a deeper understanding of His plan. God is very busy right now preparing the fall holy day season for you and me. If you would, let's turn to Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Notice what it says here in verse 20. It says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way, to keep you on track, and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." Those are God's words to us, saying that He sends His angels to prepare the way so that we can go where He wants us to go. He is there preparing the way before us. Following the command to observe the feast days, God tells us that He is looking out for us as we walk the path that He has set before us. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. I don't want to get into the whole story and what's taking place here, but I just want to point out a couple key phrases in this chapter, because this chapter really goes into detail showing us how much God is preparing the way for us. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. Notice what it says. "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses." See, God is making the choices. He's out working ahead of time, finding the best place for us to head. Out of all of your tribes, to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. So God chooses a place where He wants us to go, and He places His name there. And then that's where we're to go. Drop down to verse 11. We see it again. Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses. That phrase is over and over, just in this chapter, but also in other chapters as well. You'll find the same phrase in Deuteronomy 14. Again, in verse 11, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide. Verse 14, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer the burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Verse 18, but you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses, you and your son and your son and your daughters and your male servants and your female servants. And also verse 21. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put His name is too far from you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock, which the Lord has given you. And it goes on. God makes it very clear that He is working and planning ahead of time for the place that He wants us to go, the place that we're to go to worship Him. That shows that our God is always prepared. He chooses the place of our worship before we get there. So how important is being prepared to God? It's very important to God that He and that we are prepared. Every Sabbath throughout the entire year, and every feast day, there is a day of preparation that goes before it. God has set that aside. He said, the Sabbath is coming up, or the holy days are coming up, any given particular holy day, you can run down through them all. There is a day of preparation for the Sabbath, so that you can keep it as it was intended, as a day of rest. So you don't get caught up at the last minute, and the Sabbath's coming, and you're throwing everything together so that your work is minimized upon the Sabbath day. God wants us to be prepared for everything that we know is coming, the Sabbath and all the holy days. God even and stresses countless times that He wants us to be prepared for His Son, Jesus Christ's return. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That's a statement saying, be prepared. Have the oil ready to go in your lamps. Be prepared for when the call goes out. Have your waist girded means take your robe and tie it. Get ready to head out. That's what the men used to do. They used to wear long robes back in Jesus Christ's day. And it said, if you read commentaries. Thank you. When you read some of the commentaries, it says that they have a belt around them. And when they're relaxed and they're sitting around their home, the belt is loose. But when they're getting ready to travel, they gird themselves. They tighten that belt around their waist and head off and get ready to head off. Jesus Christ says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. He's telling us to be ready. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. You don't have to sit there and make him wait. When you hear the knock and you hear the call and it's time to go, you're ready to go. Live your life prepared, Jesus Christ is saying, spiritually prepared. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So if you're prepared and you're waiting for Jesus Christ's return, spiritually prepared, you are blessed by God to be ready for that moment. Verse 39, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Are we expecting him now? Are we ready now for Jesus Christ's return? If all of a sudden events in the world turned and it became obvious that Jesus Christ's return is imminent, are we ready for that? Or do we sit in our own personal thoughts and think, well, Jesus Christ, I look at the world events and it's probably a dozen years off or more. We can't do that. Jesus Christ tells us that we need to be ready, spiritually prepared for His return. As we approach the fall holy days, it's very important that we are prepared and ready for God's festival before they arrive. So today I would like to develop a plan for us to be fully prepared for the fall holy days. That way, when they arrive, we can gain as much as possible from these very important holy days. The first point for the sermon today, let me give you the title first, I'm sorry. Place the fall holy days first. Place the fall holy days first is the title. And my first point is study and meditate on the fall holy days. Study and meditate on the fall holy days. We need to begin our preparations by searching the Scriptures daily about God's teachings that are centered on the fall holy days. I would encourage you to begin reading some of the church's booklets on the fall holy days. I've actually brought a few examples with me today. You've got God's Holy Day Plan. You can download that on the Beyond Today website. Also, if you you can also download or order, probably a little bit too late to order at this point, but you can order the Bible study course. This is actually Lesson 12. It's entitled God's Festivals, Key to Humanity's Future. It's also a good study guide for the fall holy days. And of course, the Gospel of the Kingdom. It doesn't go into the holy days so much, but it certainly does talk about God's plan of establishing His government here on the earth. And also, I have a number of study lessons that are from the teens. You can find these also on the Beyond Today website. There's one here that's designed for each of the fall holy days for the teens. This one is each one is about 3 pages long. This is titled Feast of Trumpets. The second one is the Day of Atonement. Then there's one on the Feast of Tabernacles. And, of course, the Eighth Day. If you want to take a look at any of these after services, I'll be glad to share those with you. But there's plenty of literature out there, along with countless sermons, audio, video sermons on the church's website, a lot of information to study about the coming fall holy days. If you're not into reading too much and you prefer videos, you can even go to the Beyond Today website, and at the top there'll be a tab that says Bible Study Tools. You'll find a great video series there. This is called Let Us Keep the Feasts. Let Us Keep the Feasts. And those are all, I think they probably run about an hour or so. And those are given by Mr. Steve Myers from the Cincinnati congregation. But he covers all of God's holy days in that video series and certainly all of the days around the fall holy days. So there's a lot of information out there for us to study, and it's important that we do it. It's very easy for us to sit back and think, you know, I've been doing this for decades. I understand what the Feast of Trumpets is about. I understand what the Day of Atonement's about and so on and so forth. But you won't gain as much about these days unless you dive into them ahead of time. Study the truth once again. I can't tell you how often that I've come across somebody in the past that used to be a part of our fellowship, and they've left and they went back to their worldly ways and the world's customs, and they see you, and I've actually had this happen before, and they'll think, oh yeah, something's happening in the fall, isn't it? Don't you go somewhere in the fall time? It's gone. I mean, it just leaves their memory, and it's a sad thing to witness. I'm thinking, when I've witnessed that before, I'm thinking, how can it be gone? How can it just go so quickly and so easily. But that's the way it works. It's important that we keep our mind and our thoughts as we approach the fall holiday season about the importance of these days and their meaning. We must be ready for the fall holiday season. So why is it so important that we study about the coming fall holiday season? I've got a few points underneath this question. So first one is that we are prepared to give an answer. So that we are prepared to give an answer. That's one reason why it's so important for us to study about the coming fall holidays. We're all preparing to take off of school and off of our jobs. And this will be a motivation from our friends and our coworkers to ask us why. Most people don't take vacations or take off work or school during the fall months. It's kind of unusual that that takes place. If we're asked why are we doing this? And if we've been studying, then the answer will readily flow from us. We'll be able to give a good, solid, confident answer about why we're preparing to take off for these fall holidays. When they ask why and what are you going to do or where are you going to go, it's not the time to give an answer of, oh, just a family vacation, or our church is getting ready to hold a convention. There's a lot of churches that hold conventions. We're just not having a convention. We're celebrating God's holy days. That might be the Feast of Trumpets. It might be the Day of Atonement. It might be the Feast of Tabernacles or the Eighth Day. Whatever their question centers around, we need to be able to give a proper and appropriate answer at that time. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And there's a right way and a wrong way to give an answer. But the important thing is that we be prepared. If we're studying and we're meditating about the meaning of the fall holy days, we'll be ready. And God will work through you to give a proper answer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Set Him apart in your hearts. Have the Lord God be a part of your mind and in your heart. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is within you. And then He tells you how to do it. To do it with meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. If somebody asks you, where are you going? You say, I'm going out to celebrate God's holy days. And everybody should be doing the same thing. And you get in their face and you point their finger. That's not God working in you. We're to be humble, but we're to be confidently humble. You don't want to be caught in a situation and you start stuttering and you give off a bad impression. You can be confidently humble. And to reach that point, you have to have God's Word and the knowledge of His fall holy days in your mind every day, especially as we're approaching them now with the Feast of Tabernacles just a short time away in the fall holy days. But we need to be ready to give an answer. The second reason why it's important to study on the coming fall holy days is we need to keep God's truth in our heart. We kind of just saw that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But we need to keep God's truth in our heart. It's easy to develop a thought process like, oh, I've done this before. But like I said, sometimes people leave. And when they leave and they get away from studying it and proving it to themselves time and time again, then you end up losing what God has given you. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11, if you want to just put it in your notes. I won't actually turn there. Psalm 119, verse 11, says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Studying and meditating about the fall holy days stores God's truth up in our heart. And that keeps us from walking away from it. It keeps us from falling away. It keeps us from sinning. God's Word must be stored up in our heart. And there's only one way that it gets there. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. We will go ahead and turn here. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Notice God's instruction to the Israelites and to us. It's not just to the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 is to all of God's people. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That doesn't happen unless you're studying it on a regular basis, pouring God's word into your mind on a regular basis. That's how you lay up these words and bind them in your heart. Verse 19, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit down in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. God's law must be established in our heart. And it is now, but we need to keep it there. And you keep it there by studying and thinking about and meditating on God's truth. The third reason why it's important to study and prepare for the fall holy day season is it will keep us from being spiritually destroyed. It will keep us from being spiritually destroyed. And I know that's a strong statement, but that statement is not for me. Turn with me, if you would, to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." So this is a message that's going out to God's people, to us. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." That describes a condition. God's saying that there is no knowledge of Him in the land. It's a very dangerous place to be. And the only reason that's the case is because they've got away from studying and putting the law in their minds and in their hearts. Notice verse 6. Because it gets to the conclusion of what happens when there is no knowledge of God's law. Verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Spiritually destroyed. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children." God is giving us a very powerful statement here saying you must keep the law and study it and keep it in your mind and in your heart. If you don't, if you sit back and you think, well, I've done this for decades, it's not a good place to be. We need to keep it in our minds at all times. We need to be careful in thinking, well, I haven't rejected the knowledge of God. We should ask ourselves, am I binding these words in my heart and in my soul every day? When we study God's word, it places His word in our mind. When we don't study it, it's not there, because life will dominate what's in your mind. If you don't discipline yourself to go to God every day and to His word every day and to study it, it won't be there. It's very possible, and I'm not saying that this is the case for anybody, hopefully it's not, but it's very possible to come here week after week after week and just spend 2 hours here, and that's the end of your, or the extent of your relationship with God. God teaches us from His word that we're to have it in our lives daily, and especially now as we're heading rapidly towards the fall holy days. We need to keep God's word in our mind every day, and studying about the coming holy days will be a major help and being mentally prepared to gain as much as possible from the very important days that God is preparing right now. If we don't prepare mentally, we'll only partially benefit from the Feast of Tabernacles. from the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement and the eighth day will only partially benefit. You can go to the feast and have a great physical time. But I think that we all know and understand that God wants us to have an incredibly fulfilling spiritual time. We need to go to each holy day with a mindset of focusing how you can draw closer to God in your relationship. You get that way by studying it ahead of time, by studying about these days. And I'll be honest with you, every time I study something, it doesn't matter how many times I've studied it before, there's always something new to learn. You can always learn something new from studying God's truth. The second overall point for my sermon is talk to God, your family, and your brethren. So the first point was to study and meditate about God's fall holy days. The second point is talk to God, your family, and your brethren about the coming fall holy days. First, make the coming fall holy day season a part of your regular prayer life. Make that the first thing you do. Every day, find time to fall on your knees and bow before God and talk to Him about the coming fall holy days. Talk to Him. You could look and see, like we talked about during the announcements, about the disaster that's taking place in Houston. The death, the suffering, the sickness that's probably going to come from it as well. And realize that it's because of Satan. Talk to God about that. Say, Father, I understand that the whole reason that this even took place is because of the destroyer. And I can't wait till this Day of Atonement when it pictures the time where He will be locked away and put away. Talk to God about all of the coming fall holy days. Talk to Him about how anxious you are for His Son, Jesus Christ, to return to this earth. Talk to Him about what life is going to be like with His government established upon this earth during the millennium. Talk to God about what it's going to be like when you see your relatives resurrected and you're there as a spirit being and you see them resurrected to their physical life and you're there to teach them about God's precious truth. Talk to God about those events because that's what the fall holy days in a very short summarization pictures. All of those things. Talk to our Father in heaven about them. Make it a part of your daily prayer life between now and the fall holy days. God wants us to be excited for these coming days. If we ignore them in our preparation and don't prepare for them, are you really going to be excited in your relationship between you and God about these coming days? I don't think so. You talk to God about it, and it will build your excitement. It will build your anticipation. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119, verse 12. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 12, as we read these verses, think about David's interaction with God here. 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. So David's having a word here with God, and he's asking that God teach him His law. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. Again, he's saying he rejoices in the way of God's law, as much as in all riches. So he's comparing the knowledge and the understanding of God's truth to all wealth, to all riches. He said, I rejoice in this and treasure it as much as all wealth. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. David stopped and he thought about God's law. David was a man who was very close to God. He understood God. He understood not just God, but he understood God's plan. And all he had to study from was the books of the law. We're blessed abundantly because we have the entire Bible. The entire Bible wasn't available, obviously, with David. But he understood the entire plan of God by studying God's law. The same thing is available to us, and even more so. Again, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The only reason that David knew that he wouldn't forget his word is because of what he said he did. He delighted himself in God's law. He studied it regularly. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Can that be our prayer as we approach the fall holy day season? Can we go before God and say, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law? It should be our prayer. It should be our focus in preparing for the coming fall holy day season. The world sees these days as burdensome, something to be forgotten. They see them as a hassle. How do we see them? Hopefully we see them as a treasure, just as David did. God gave us these days as feast days. He calls them feast days. They're not burdensome days or hassle days. They're feast days. Feast is obviously an abbreviation for festival. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to forget about the problems that life brings us as we approach the fall holy day season. And he wants our mind filled with the promises that he has given us. The promises of his kingdom. The promise of his coming government to be placed upon this earth. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. There's instruction here about how to properly observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 13 says, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. Everybody was to be a part of this festival. Everybody was to be a part of this rejoicing. 7 days you shall keep a feast, a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord God chooses. And that's what we're going to do. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in the land of and in the work of your hands so that you will surely rejoice. God promises that if we set our heart and our minds to properly observe these days, he will bless us so that we can rejoice. It's a time for us to go to God. It's a time for us to prepare. It's a time for us to discuss these days with him and to express our greatest desire for their fulfillment. The fall holy days are given to us with a powerful meaning about the complete change of this world. A complete change. Talk to God about the need for his son Jesus Christ's return. Lastly, discuss these fall holy days with our families, with our children, and with one another. Discuss them with one another. Nothing is more exciting and more motivating than discussing the meaning of these days with God, our family, and our brethren. God wants us to be excited. Not just excited when we leave and we drive away from our homes. He wants us to be excited now as we prepare for these coming fall holy days. Not only is it exciting, but it's a command from God upon each of us to pass these things, these beautiful truths, on to the next generation, to pass them on to the youth. Psalm chapter 78, verse 1. If you'd like to turn there, you can. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, beginning in verse 1. O my people, listen to my instruction. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty works. See, when we teach our children about the wonderful things that God is doing, about the wonderful meaning about these coming days, you are fulfilling God's command for you. He wants us to share these things with our children, and it's vital that we do. Going on in verse 5, so He issued His laws to Jacob. He gave His instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. I would encourage everyone, not just parents with young children, everyone in our congregation, to share God's truth with the youth. There's nothing more special for even somebody that is older, that doesn't have children, to sit down with our youth and to spend a few moments with them here at Sabbath services or when you ever have the time, and talk to them about your calling. Talk to them about your past feast experiences. I know when I was young in the faith, one of the things that my father-in-law did, because my wife's parents observed the feast and the holy days and God's way of life since the very early 60s. I think they actually started just, was it just prior to when you were born? It was what? 8 months old. Joan was 8 months old, I guess, when they kept the first feast. So their first feast. That was back in, I won't say how old she is. That'd be nice. I got to go home with her later. So. But it was a long time ago. Not that long ago, though. Not that long ago. But my father-in-law used to tell me about some of the feast sites that they used to attend, and there were tens of thousands of people there. And they would, and when you hear the stories about the Jekyll Island feast site with a big tent and the storms raging off the coast and water coming in, and my mother-in-law would tell stories about how she would grab her kids up right before the gush of water came through on the floor. There's all kinds of neat stories, and you guys have them. Share those with the younger generation. They've got it easy. They don't have to go to the feast in tents and face hurricanes and that sort of thing. But share those experiences, because the youth drink it in. And they'll be building their own experiences. But it's important that we pass them on to the next generation. Brethren, now is the time to prepare for the fall holy days. I suppose when I prepared this, that I could have run off a whole list of things that we need to do to properly prepare for the fall holy days. But I think if we do the two main points that I discussed today, which is studying God's Word about the fall holy days, and then going to God and praying to Him and discussing it with our families and amongst the brethren, I think that everything else will fall in line. Everything else will be taken care of. That's the way life works when you put first things first. You put first things first, and in this case, put God's fall holy days first, beginning right now. Don't wait a few days or a week or even longer, because the next thing you know, the feast and the fall holy days will be upon us. Set your mind, set your heart to gain as much as you possibly can, spiritually speaking, from these coming fall holy days. It's so important that we do. And it'll establish God's law and His way and in your mind and in your heart. And that's what God desires for us all. Hope the rest of your Sabbath is very special.